The hymn that we sang this morning at the beginning of Mass was written more than 1,000 years ago in Latin, and its opening words are Veni Creator Spiritus. We, of course, didn't sing the Latin text. We sang a 19th century English translation of that text. And so our opening words were, Come, Holy Ghost. The fact that we can translate Spiritus into ghost reminds us that English is a Germanic language, not a Romance language like Italian, French, and Spanish. Our word ghost comes, of course, from the German Geist. Considering how words are translated helps us understand the dense field of meanings that can be attached to a single word. Seeing how they're rendered into other tongues helps us understand more deeply the truth conveyed by a single word. And following that path, we must remember that the Latin word spiritus, spirit, geist, ghost, is itself a translation of a Greek word, pneuma. One of the many ways in which we can translate the Greek word pneuma is, of course, spirit, but it can also be rendered as breath or wind. Think of a pneumatic drill powered by air, or pneumonia, which impedes the function of the lungs and our breathing. If we think of it in those terms, and if we remember that the Lord Jesus is the incarnate Word, that God the Son is also the Father's eternal Word, then we might usefully think of praying in the name of the Father and of the Word and of the breath. And that awkward formulation helps remind us about the mystery of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Word, and God the breath. Remember how Genesis begins the account of creation. God speaks a word, let there be light, and the cosmos comes to be. And near the end of the creation story, God breathes on the waters and brings forth life. This is God the breath, God the spirit, bringing forth life upon the earth. Now, most people conceive of all living things having a life force. In Greek, the word is psyche, from which we get psyche. The Latin word that translates it is anima. So something which is alive has a psyche, an anima, a soul, a life force. A paramecium, a geranium, a German shepherd, all of these have life forces. When something is not alive, we call it inanimate, not having an anima, a soul. But of all the animals, man is composed not of two parts, but of three. Not just a body and soul in the sense of anima, psyche, but a spirit, the pneuma. When man was formed from the dust of the earth and brought to life, uniquely the Spirit of God was breathed into him. The breath of God becomes the spirit of man, and this is what makes us like God. Of all the other animals, we alone are created in the image and likeness of God because we have not only a life force, a psyche, but also a pneuma, the breath of God. One of the most beautiful privileges of a priest is to attend the dying. There is a prayer of great majesty and beauty which should be spoken as close to the moment of death as possible. In nearly a quarter century of priestly ministry, I've had the privilege of speaking this prayer many times, But on only one occasion did the man for whom I was praying die at exactly the last word of the prayer. After invoking the saints, the priest prays, "Go forth, Christian soul, from this world. In the name of God, the Almighty Father who created you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God who suffered for you. In the name of the Holy Spirit who was poured out upon you, go forth, Christian, faithful Christian. May you live in peace this day. May your home be with God in Zion, with Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with Joseph, and with all the angels and saints. Amen." Go forth, Christian soul, anima, because of the spirit that is within you, the pneuma. On the one occasion I'm thinking of, as I pronounced the final word, the man who lay dying breathed his last. We say he gave up the ghost. It's an unforgettable moment to be at the side of one who breathes his last. We say that they expire. The spirit goes out. And so the life of that person on earth ends. What I want you to see is the intimate connection. From beginning to end, the beginning of the story of the universe and the beginning of each one of our personal stories, with the life-giving presence of the Spirit of God. And long before we expire, long before we are called out of this world, we are inspired and sent forth into this world. We are given the Spirit of God. All who are in Christ, for the sake of bringing the new life of grace to every man, woman, and child, and in this way, to renew the face of the earth. The gospel today is taken from John's account of Easter Sunday. It is the evening of the day of resurrection. The 11 surviving apostles are hiding in fear, and in their midst, through the locked door, stands the resurrected and glorified Christ. His first word, peace. Peace be with you. The peace that can only come from having one's sins forgiven. When he showed them his wounds, his hands and his side, the disciples rejoiced. He is alive. And then this, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he breathed on them. As God breathed on the waters at the dawn of creation, he breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit, the breath of God from the Word of God. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. But that day, Easter Sunday, this was a hidden event. This was the preparation for the mission of the church. He would spend the next 40 days teaching them the full consequences of that action. And then command them to wait in Jerusalem until the gift of the Spirit would come, not in a hidden and private way, but in a dramatic and public way. The sound of a driving wind, the breath of God, appearing now as tongues of fire to fill them with God's love so that they could fulfill the precept of going to the ends of the earth to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. From that day to this, God the Holy Spirit is given to all who know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ordinarily, this happens in the sacraments. On the day of our baptism, when we are born again by water and the Holy Spirit, we are inspired. God breathes the life of grace into us. On the day of our confirmation, what began in our baptism is completed and perfected by the seal of the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold gifts of the same breath of God. From that moment, we become witnesses to the truth of the resurrection. And we are meant by everything we think and do and say to be instruments of grace for other people. But this requires the fire of conviction and the light of truth. And so it is that the Spirit, who is the breath of God, is also the light that teaches us the truth, the fire that purifies and emboldens, the love that is the motive of everything done in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. How is this to be done? Impossibly. Through us. Improbably. Through us. By our fidelity to the gift of the Spirit. The Father utters one word, Jesus Christ. The breath by which that word is uttered, God the Holy Spirit. As we conclude the 50 days of Easter on the great solemnity of Pentecost, let us remember what a great privilege and duty it is to receive this gift and be sent in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to renew the face of the earth.